former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside of the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey here on this Saturday, December 9th. Michael, how are we doing this morning?
We are good. Army, Navy today. Excited for that. That's always good. We can watch and see if that over or under is going to hit. And great game. It really is. It's interesting that they moved it up to New England, which is awesome, especially considering the head coach of the Patriots is a huge, huge Navy fan and grew up with Navy. And a lot of the Patriot way is responsible from the Naval Academy. A lot of the beliefs that have been installed over his career started with his background of playing catch with Roger Staubach there at the Naval Academy. So it's kind of full circle. It's good to see it, and it's a great day. It's a prideful day. You know, these kids take it so seriously, and the atmosphere at the game is tremendous.
Yeah, and I've never been to one of the games. Have you ever gone to an Army-Navy game?
No, I never have had a chance, you know, because of work, even though it's been close here to Philadelphia. But it's something to behold. I mean, it's such a powerful day in terms of the pride you take in being here in this country where freedom reigns and you can enjoy your freedoms. And these men and women that represent our two service academies on this day certainly provide that freedom for us.
Yeah, no, I always think that the pageantry is unbelievable with this game, and what you'll see after the game when they're having like the songs playing and everything, like that's always been like one of the hallmark moments of the college football season every single year. And it's right that this is the only game that's played today. And we will get into that game as we set the table for the next couple of hours. Fun show that we have on deck for you guys. 15 minutes from now, Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. He's covered the game closely, has a bet in the game as well. Tim will join us in 15 minutes. Then 30 minutes from now at 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific, Coach Chuck Pagano will be joining the program as we talk Coach. All things NFL. Excited to have Coach on. We had him earlier on in this season. Excited to get his thoughts on some of the marquee matchups that we have coming up in this week's NFL slate. And then at 11:30, our buddy Matt Humans will join us, host of VSiN Tonight and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. He'll give out his thoughts on some of the NFL plays and what he's got cooking up, maybe in college hoops as well, as that season has been getting underway. And then at 11:45 Eastern, 8:45 Pacific, our buddy Jonathan Von Tobel here at VSiN. VSiN, host of the Hardwood Handicappers Podcast. The in-season tournament championship is tonight in Vegas, Michael, between the Pacers and the Lakers. We'll get JVT's thoughts on that and maybe some other big picture thoughts around the NBA. But let's begin, though, with Army-Navy. Right now, the betting market in that game, Army is a 3-point favorite over at DraftKings. 2.5 is our consensus number, the total sitting at 28. The total is always the talk of this game here. Will it go under once again? I mean, that is a basement low number, but you bet me over?
Nah, I don't know how you can, right? I mean, the game goes so slow, right?
Yep.
And you see it go slow, and you know that both teams kind of like to play in the middle of the field from 40 to 40 and doesn't seem to move much from there. So I don't know how you can play the over. You know, I don't really know. Navy has not been able to win this game, which certainly has been, you know, a concern. Last year, they fired their coach after losing again, who had, you know, he had a really good run there at the Naval Academy, and they made the changes partly because of this, right? And so I think, to me, you have to be very concerned about betting the over here. I just don't know how you quite do it, even though you can look at other games through the year, right, and say, well, you know, the Black Knights, you know, they've been able to score. You know, they scored 44 against UMass, and they scored, you know, 48 against Louisiana Monroe. Yeah, well, when they played Air Force, it was a 13-7 game.
Yeah. No, to me, this feels like it's under. And the reason why it's at 20, because 28 is such a low number. Like, usually we're sitting at like 31, 30. But I mean, with the clock rule, this is the first Army Navy game that we're going to get with the clock rules where the clock continues to run after first downs. And I think we're going to see just a fast moving game with that clock continuing to move. And these two teams, they execute decently as well. And they have those long drives. I mean, we might get only two drives in the first quarter, Mike. Like this thing is it's pretty fast moving with this game.
Well, the last game they played was Coastal Carolina, right? And Coastal Carolina 7-5. They beat Coastal Carolina 28-21. So they've scored it. I made a mistake on the Mass game. Mass game, they lost 21-14, but that's 35. That's going to hit over here, right? So, you know, so I think to me, you have to be, you know, there's moments where they can move it, but you're talking about the 111th offense in college football, right? You're talking about the 118th relative scoring offense. This is the 38th best defense in college football. They only give up 22 points a game, and they're going against a offense that's worse than Army, right? They're worse than Army in terms of what they do. And their defense is relatively the same. So we're talking about a defensive battle here. I mean, there's some games here. They beat Charlotte 14-0. The Air Force, they lose 17-6. Most of their games are relatively, you know, the defense is carrying them in their five wins.
Yeah, and last year's game, that one went over the total, needing two overtimes to go over the total. They're 20-17 in double overtime. You're chuckling. I mean, that's how these two teams play. But it's a fun game nonetheless, a spectacle. And College Game Day has your guy, Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, will be guest picker for Game Day there with this Army-Navy game in Foxborough.
I can tell you he's picking Navy. I can promise you that.
Spoiler alert.
He's going against his, I don't think he's going to go against his midshipman there. You know, he's got, you know, that's part of his DNA there.
Yep.
And certainly, you know, this game has always been one on his docket that, you know, even I can remember being with him in Cleveland and New England, that when this game was on, it was going to be on in his office. He was going to watch it with great pride.
Yeah, no, I'm sure he's thrilled that this game is being played at Foxborough. Usually it bounces between Philly and Baltimore, but it's going to be in Foxborough this year. Maybe we can get it out on the West Coast one of these years in the future, because that's definitely one that I want to go ahead and watch in person there, just as a bucket list item for a college football fan here. But let's also talk some of the headlines of the day. We mentioned it, the in-season tournament. Jonathan Von Tobel will be joining us to wrap up the show, our VSiN senior NBA analyst and host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast. We got the Pacers and the Lakers here, Michael. I'm not sure how much of this in-season tournament you've been taking in, but the Indiana Pacers have been kind of the feel-good story of the NBA season so far. And then you have the Lakers on the other side who, hey, LeBron has been playing hard in this in-season tournament. I think they're more focused in these in-season tournament games than they are in the actual regular season games. They're laying four total 242.
No question. No question they are focused. And, you know, it's interesting. I am interested in this tournament because I am so upset that, you know, we had an opportunity, we mean in Philadelphia, could have traded for Halliburton. That was part of the Simmons package that was out there.
Naturally,
oh yeah, they were throwing in things. They were giving up Halliburton and other things, you know? And so, but we had to have Harden. So look, the kid's played remarkable, right? He has played remarkable in his career. He had 27 points a game, you know, 12 assists as a point guard for the Pacers. I mean, you got to give them credit for what they've been able to do, and they played and they've beaten some good teams. So this is great for the Pacers. I like it when Indiana, you know, on the home of basketball, you go through any part of Indiana and all you see are hoops attached to garages. So when the Pacers are good, it's good. I asked JVT the other day, Femi, if he thought this would allow the Lakers to kind of carry over into the season. And he was a little bit skeptical in that. And we can talk to him about it later.
That's interesting. Like this Lakers team, you look at their landscape and it's like, all right, LeBron is still their best player, which I'm not sure is a great thing if you're the Lakers. Like you would expect Anthony Davis to have taken that torch, given that he's the one that's supposed to be in the prime of his career. And LeBron, I mean, he's going to turn 39 later this month and he's still out there running and jumping. Looks like the fastest guy on the court, which is pretty remarkable here. But yeah, they got a lot of size, a lot of length, a lot of athleticism. But this Pacer team, they run up and down the court. Defensively, a little shaky, but offensively, I mean, they got the best point guard, at least in the Eastern Conference, with Tyrese Halliburton. I mean, last game is stat line, 27 points, 15 assists, zero turnovers. Zero turnovers for a guy that handles the ball as much as he does. Like, that's a
and
fun
pushes
game.
The ball.
Yeah.
And pushes it. I mean, he's coming downhill all the time.
Yeah, no, he has like an awkward shooting motions. Like when he was playing at Iowa State, I was like, okay, he's a good player, but I don't know how good he's going to be in the NBA. And I mean, he's far exceeded, I think, anybody's expectations for what he might be. I mean, the Sacramento Kings had him and they went ahead and traded him for Sabonis. Now, obviously that trade with Sabonis, that worked out for the Kings. They made the playoffs last year. So it's maybe one of those good for both sides type of things. But Halliburton has definitely blossomed into kind of an elite player in the NBA here. Real quick.
You know what's happened? You know what's happened in the NBA a little bit here is if you ask the average fan, I think, you know, because we've gotten caught up in the tournament, who leads the Western Conference? Who's the number one seed in the Western Conference? I think nobody would answer that it's the Minnesota Timberwolves and they've only had four losses. Think about that.
They are.
Think about that, Femi.
they are awesome on defense. Like Rudy Gobert. Yeah,
they only give up 105 points a game. I mean, they're significantly better than any team in the West defensively. I think the Clippers are the closest team. No, actually, I think it's the Rockets are the closest team to them. At 105 points only allowed, that's remarkable.
Yeah, no, they're really good on defense, like really good at home. I mean, they've won 9 of their last 10. It's Gobert's been awesome. Jaden McDaniels is a really elite defensive player on that side on the perimeter there. And then Anthony Edwards is kind of like the star, the face of that team, where maybe he can take that next step from all-star to maybe an all-NBA caliber player there. Like, it's a fun story. We'll see what happens in the playoffs, but in the regular season, they've been a dominant team so far, as they have the best record, not just in the West, but in the entire league at 17-4. Real quick, we'll obviously have more time to talk about Thursday Night Football a little bit later on in the show, but I just wanted to get your early thoughts on that one, your reaction to the Patriots upsetting the Pittsburgh Steelers 21-18 a couple nights ago.
I think it's a lesson for all of us to learn that to throw away our pencils. And we all do this at this time of the year. We sit there and look at the remaining schedules and we try to figure out what team we're going to make at the playoffs. And if you had your pencil out and you were getting ready when the Steelers were getting ready to play Arizona, and I was on them last week to think they could beat the Cardinals, and then this week against a bad Patriot team, and now instead of being 9-5, 9-4, they're 7-6. So the pencil effect really does it. And give the Patriots credit. Look, they could easily have won any one of the last four games, easily have won those games if they made just two plays. So they're not as bad as that record. They're bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to apologize for them. But they've had opportunities to win or tie games.
Yeah, that defense is playing really, really well. We'll talk more about that game on the other side. But then Tim Murray will be joining us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge this college bowl season, the VSiN experts have you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving for every game, and our college bowl betting guide where you get picks for every bowl game. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99 and become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas. And joining us now, as he has all college football season, our buddy Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, which you can check out Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 Eastern. Also host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, which you need to be subscribed to and listening to now that we are in the depths of the bowl season, keeping tabs on the portal, who's playing, who's coaching, all that good information. But also, Tim worked 3 years for the Navy Football Sports Radio. So who better to have on to talk Army-Navy than our buddy Tim Murray? Tim, hope all is well. Let's talk about this game. Army-Navy at DraftKings, it's still 3 total, sitting at 28. Army the favorite here. How do you break this game down later on this afternoon?
Yeah, no, it was cool to be a part of that. I don't know if they think of to me too fondly, because my first year was 2016, guys, and that was the year the winning streak came to a close. So I did not bring much good luck to the mids being part of the broadcast team there. I was on the broadcast team for 3 years, and they did not win, beat Army once. And then the year I left, they won. So, you know, it's funny because I kind of like Navy plus the 3. I'm not racing to bet it. If I was, you know, forced to play, which I probably will, to be honest, because it's the only football game on, I would look that way. But I do think it's interesting, guys, to look at the total, because everybody's obviously going to tell us how many times the under has come home, and that's fair. I believe it was 15 consecutive before last year, and you need a double overtime to get to the over. But, you know, not all unders are created equally, right? So, you know, you look back at some of the totals in this rivalry, going back to the start of that streak of in 2007, and it was 64.5, 43, 41.5, 53, 55.5, 55.5, 52, 56, 50.5, 47.5, 43.5, 38.5, 41, 36, 36, 32. So you look at the number now, it's 28. I mean, it is obviously moved quite considerably, considering how this rivalry has played out here. So I just be careful racing to play the under and assuming that it's just going to, you know, continue this trend of easy unders. You know, we saw, not that this is the same thing, but, you know, we saw on Thursday night, right? The Patriots and Steelers, everybody just assumed, okay, this game has to go under, and it went over by halftime. So I do think we could see a little bit more points than maybe we're used to. And by that, I mean, you know, a game in the 30s. So just be careful on auto playing unders, because the market's not a bunch of dummies. They've corrected this thing over the years, and we're sitting at a pretty outside of Iowa, guys, a pretty historically low total here.
Yeah. And so, but you're on an under kick here now, Tim. I mean, you know, you wasted no time to jump all over the Alabama Michigan game. You're going under on that one as well.
Yeah. This, yeah, when we look to some of the bowl games, there is where I do like some of the unders, because, you know, obviously the biggest thing is to keep an eye on the totals here. And Alabama, Michigan, I think is one where, you know, when you're thinking about bowl games and the postseason, guys, I do, you know, you can consider the two playoff games as true as they come. They're not going to be many opt outs for those. So my initial feel was the under here. I do like Alabama a little bit in this spot. Haven't bet it yet, but I do think if you like Alabama, I think they do close the favorite. But I just look at the two defenses, and I believe that they're the two best units on the field. And what I'm really interested about considering this game, guys, is Michigan's success at the wide receiver position. Last year, you look at Michigan with Bell out there. I thought they had more skill position players outside, and I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on JJ McCarthy to make some plays here. I know Kool-Aid McKinstry had a little bit of a concussion in the SEC championship. I would imagine he'll be fully healthy by the time the college football playoff rolls around. I mean, he's a stud corner, and this secondary for Alabama is a strength. And I think Michigan's going to want to try to run the ball, try to make that their emphasis in this game. But ultimately, I think this is kind of a slugfest, which we've seen in some recent Alabama college football playoff appearances. And then you flip it on the other side, Alabama, I think, you know, they're going to want to do a similar thing. You saw it a little bit in that Georgia game, where late in the game, I thought they were able to run the ball decently well and kind of control the game when they took that lead against the Bulldogs. So yeah, my first play, guys, was the under in this one, under 45.5, 45 being a key number. So we will see. Also, you look at Michigan, and they're going to have to, now they figured it out for one game against Iowa, but their, you know, star guard Zach Zinter is out, that gruesome leg injury against Ohio State. So I think this is more of your slower scoring affair out at the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day.
We're speaking with Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I do want to get your thoughts on the Sugar Bowl between Texas and Washington, but you said something interesting there in your response about Bama and Michigan, that you've mentioned that you think Alabama could close a favorite in this game. Do you agree with that? Like, should Bama be on a neutral field the favorite when they take on Michigan?
I think this should be around a pick, to be honest, Femi. I look at the way these two teams have ended the year, and, you know, I kind of hate the fact that it's going to have me coming off like I don't like Michigan or I'm trashing Michigan.
But
I feel like this Wolverines team was better last year. And there's, you know, you look at the backfield. I think Blake Corum seemed a bit off, and Donovan Edwards has seemed off this year. So obviously this is a 13-0 football team that, you know, ran through the Big Ten pretty comfortably. But, you know, you look at the strength, the schedule, they finally played some, you know, competition with the Pulse and Penn State, and Maryland gave them a little bit of a run for their money in the second to final week of the regular season. And obviously the Ohio State game was kind of a toss up. So you look at Alabama. They needed a miracle touchdown pass, no doubt, against Auburn, or not even having this discussion, you know, fourth and goal from the 30, and Hugh Freeze decides to just rush two, and Jalen Melrose will be able to eat a sandwich and throw a touchdown pass. you know, in the backfield. So I just think the way the two teams are trending right now is why I believe ultimately the market will maybe end this thing just a slight favorite for the Crimson Tide.
And how about, what's your feel on the Washington-Texas game? Do you have a play on that, or are you thinking, are you waiting, and where do you think this number will end up in the next 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, we saw 4.5s out there, Michael. It's trended a little bit down towards the Huskies, and I know Femi is a Husky fan, true and true. So he's hopeful that his Washington Huskies perform a little bit better than what they did the last time they were in the playoff. But I think this thing still stays above 3. But I think you'll see some support for Washington, no doubt. I have not bet this game, guys. You know, my initial blind gut was take Texas, but then the more I think about it, Kalen DeBoer, a month to prepare, with this team getting healthier at the wide receiver position, Michael Penix getting healthier. I've kind of flip-flopped a little bit on this one. So I have not put a bet in yet on this game, guys, because I really can make a strong case for both sides. I thought Texas, what we saw from them, albeit against, you know, pretty inferior competition in the Big 12 championship and even in the regular season finale against Texas Tech. I don't know. I mean, they looked awesome, but, you know, is that because of who they were playing in Texas Tech and Oklahoma State? So I've gone back and forth, and, you know, I'm probably leaning a little bit towards the Huskies taking the points, which is Kalen DeBoer and that amount of time to prepare and the health that I think Washington will get, but not there yet. I think I'll get there, but not there yet on a play on this one.
There we go. Bow down to Washington. Let's do it. Let's do it as they take on their old buddy, Steve Sarkisian. Real quick, Tim, we got about 30 seconds left. Based on your analysis, it feels like you might think that the winner of the Rose Bowl is going to ultimately be the winner of the national title. Is that correct?
I do. Yeah, I think I think the winner of the Rose Bowl will be the national champion. And I think, you know, initial gut was Alabama, Texas. We'll see how that all plays out. But I do think the winner of the Rose Bowl will be a favorite, and you know, it won't be a massive favorite, you know, and I think all in all, as we sit here on this, you know, December 9th, about, you know, 4 weeks away or 3 weeks away, whatever it is before the championship or the semifinal, I should say, look, it's going to be as closely contested championship as and playoff as we've seen in quite some time.
All right. Well, we can't wait to get into the rest of the bowl season. We'll get your plays on that coming up in the weeks to come here on the Lombardi Line. But that is Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime.
Thanks, Tim.
And the VSiN College Ball Betting Podcast. Tim, appreciate it, and good luck with the best today, man.
Good luck with the unders.
All right. Root for the unders, in the Rose Bowl at least. Coach Chuck Pagano joins us next here on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Juice Reel is a free betting intelligence app and a tool that every bettor needs. And what it does for you is that it links your betting accounts into one app. It delivers in-depth analytics on your betting history as well. All you have to do is just find out for yourself. Download Juice Reel, juice like orange juice, and Reel, R-E-E-L. Download the free app in the App Store or the Google Play Store, and it's free. Juice Reel, juice, R-E-E-L. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi here on December 9th on a Saturday. A lot of fun here. Week 14 in the National Football League coming up, the full slate tomorrow. And to help us preview that slate and talk all things NFL, the one and only Coach Chuck Pagano, coach decades in the National Football League. Now you see him over on the Pat McAfee Show each and every week there. Coach Pagano, we appreciate you joining us this morning here. And I want to start off kind of with the Pittsburgh Steelers after what we saw Thursday and over the past couple of weeks, to where we were talking about this to start the show that, hey, if you're filling things out on paper, it looks like the Steelers should have been 9-4 when they hosted the Cardinals and the Patriots. But now they sit here at 7-6. And I ask you, what's kind of gone wrong for the Steelers over these past couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, you're sitting there where they were sitting, playoffs, all that stuff, and to lose to, you know, two win teams, lose to Arizona at home, and then to lose, you know, this last one on Thursday night to New England. I mean, so disappointing. Obviously, the offense, they've struggled, you know, had to let Matt Canada go. They've been relying on their defense week in and week out, and it's finally caught up to them. You know, it was like when New England goes down the field that first drive. They throw up that pass to Juju. He makes that amazing catch, and then a walk in, get a pick route, wheel route, and it's like, oh my God, here we go. And then, you know, TJ Watt gets a knee to the face, and you're like, this is going to be a rough night for the Steelers. And so didn't see those two games, those two losses coming. Uphill battle for sure from here on out with Kenny Pickett being injured and stuff.
Chuck, you know, I know you know you've been the head coach of the Colts. You follow them closely. I mean, they are remarkable in what they've been able to accomplish with Gardner Minshew. And right now, they look like, I know they're going into Cincinnati, face a tough game here, playing the Bengals, who found an offense with Jake Browning. But they have seemed to found their rhythm offensively with Gardner Minshew. How do you handicap them?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I like them. I like going. I like them going down there and doing fine at Cincy. They've got to see what Jake Browning could do. You know, they're not going to be surprised now, like what he did to Jacksonville and how disappointing that defense played against them in Cincinnati. So Shane Steichen's done an amazing job. Lombo, Gardner Minshew. If he just takes care of the football, doesn't turn the thing over. You know, Moss is more than capable. We saw that early in the season when Jonathan Taylor was out. So he's more than capable. And then the emergence of, you know, Pittman's been playing well. And then the game that Alec Pierce had, I mean, this is a scary team. And again, going back to Shane, the job that he's done as a rookie head coach and losing his rookie quarterback, Anthony Richardson, I like them. If they just take care of the football, I like their chances at Cincinnati.
Speaking with Coach Chuck Pagano there. We see him on the Pat McAfee Show on ESPN each and every week here. Well, Coach Pagano, you mentioned it. Shane Steichen, he's among the favorites to win Coach of the Year. I believe he's around 5-1 right now. Who is your Coach of the Year as we enter week 14? Like, the job Steichen's doing is awesome. D'Amico Ryans has gotten a lot of pub as well. Like, who do you think has done the best coaching job this season up to this point?
Yeah, great question. If you would have told me or any of us before the season that the Coach of the Year was going to come out of the AFC South, right, we'd have said, okay, probably going to be Doug Peterson or Mike Vrabel, right? For certain, we're not going to pick Shane Steichen and D'Amico Ryans, two rookie head coaches with rookie quarterbacks, rebuilds, coming off the years that both those programs had the year before. Yeah, for me, I mean, I love D'Amico. I love what he's doing down there. Obviously, C.J. Stroud, his development, he's unbelievable. But Shane Steichen, that's where I'm putting my money, you know. And if I can get 5-1, as soon as we hang up, I'm going to try to get that, you know, and get my bet in. But think about it. If, you know, JT early on, all the adversity, lose, you know, the rookie quarterback, their starting quarterback, doing what he's doing with Gardner Minshew, the suspensions, Grover Stewart's back this week after six game suspension. Great job by Shane Steichen.
Yeah, I agree. Grover Stewart will help that run defense, which has kind of gotten gashed. They've been winning with their offense, actually. I think their defense has to take a step up. It'll be interesting to see how that's all going to transpire this week against the Bengals. But I'm with you, Chuck. I think the fact that they seen what Jake Browning can do, they certainly can have an idea of how Zach Taylor wants to call the game. You know, the other team I want to talk a little bit about is Miami's defense. You being a defensive coach, a defensive coordinator in the league, talk a little bit about why Fangio has been so successful in terms of getting this defense to play at such a high level from, let's say, the middle point of the season until now.
Yeah, well, obviously, getting Jalen Ramsey back there, from injury has been significant. And it just takes time when you step into, a new place and you're trying to implement your philosophy, your scheme, the terminology, the communication, what you want to do, from a front and coverage standpoint, that takes time. And Vic's a great coach. He's very detailed. He knows exactly what he wants to do. Fundamentals, technique are at a premium. Taking the ball away is at a premium. But getting Jalen back, those guys getting familiar and comfortable with the scheme and the terminology. Big loss in Jalen Phillips, as we know. But you got other guys like Van Ginkel coming in, doing his deal. I think they might have just picked up, free agent or something here or there. But you know, Christian Wilkins playing at a high, high level. I mean, that Javon Holland, I mean, that's an up and comer. I talked about him early in the year as a, you know, a breakout guy this year in the secondary. So you got two shutdown corners. You know, he's got his system. He believes in what he believes in. If he's got to come after you, you know, he'll come after you, but he likes to play that, you know, that base 3-4 against big people. And then, you know, a 4-2-5 nickel package. And he's just really, really good. And you can see that group coming together from a communication standpoint and confidence standpoint.
Well, the Dolphins right now, market expectation is that they should be able to win the AFC East. But the team in their division that's been getting a lot of interest so far in the betting market this week, Chuck, is the Buffalo Bills, who right now, I mean, I'm sitting here in Vegas. They're a pick 'em coming off the bye against the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. Do you think we'll see a different Bills team post bye week here, or is it kind of just more the same of what we've seen so far at 6-6?
Well, this is a must win for the Bills. They're sitting there at what, number 11, you know, in the AFC right now in the conference. They can't afford another loss. If they lose, they're virtually out of this deal. Now, mathematically, they wouldn't be, but this is a desperate team. This is a must win. Josh Allen, you know, avoid the turnovers early on in the year, the last couple of weeks, new coordinator in place. They put a premium, I think, on running the football. They've simplified, I think, the pass game. He's taking care of the football. So when you have a desperate team, you know, they're good enough. They got good enough talent, you know, and they're going to play a KC team who's really struggling to find an identity and get going offensively. So if there was ever a time to go into Kansas City and face Andy Reid, face Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, this is as good a time as ever. But when you're going up a team that, you know, that's desperate, and they got a dude, Josh Allen is still a dude, right? He's still one of the, you know, best quarterbacks in the National Football League. So that's why, to me, that's why the you know, the line is where it's at.
Yeah. And do you see, I mean, we're in week 14 of the season. There's no, you know, there's no magic wand that's going to happen. I mean, Kansas City is who they are right now. They can improve a little bit, but when they play teams that have scored over 20 points, they've lost every one of those games. They're 0-4. Do you see any chance that they're going to be able to turn this thing around offensively?
Well, just because it's Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, we keep waiting for it, Lombo.
Like, yeah,
every single week, we just keep thinking, okay, this is the week, this is the week, this is the week. They're going to catch fire. The defense, it's usually the defense, but they've started out strong and they've been consistent the entire season, right? But Kelce doesn't look 100%. He doesn't look healthy to me. The receivers haven't been consistent. They've dropped more balls than anybody else in the National Football League. So, like you said, a magic wand, you know, pull a rabbit out of the hat, a genie in a bottle, pull the top. What? I don't foresee it. I don't see it happening. They, certainly, you know, we all trust and have faith in Pat Mahomes, you know, turning this thing around, Andy Reid. We just think that's going to happen. But until, like, Rashee Rice, he's shown some flashes. But those other guys, Sky Moore, MBS, until they actually do it, there's going to be question marks.
Yeah, now you're seeing those question marks in the betting market right now. Once again, that game of pick'em, Bills at the Chiefs. He is head coach Chuck Pagano. Joined us here on the Lombardi Line. You can check him out over on the Pat McAfee Show on ESPN. Coach Pagano, we appreciate it, man. Be well.
Thanks, Coach. Yeah,
thank you, guys.
Great job.
See you, Lombo.
Awesome stuff there. We'll get to the NFL news and notes from around the league next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi here on this Saturday. Thank you to Coach Chuck Pagano, who joined us in the last segment talking all things NFL. And we kind of left off our conversation with Coach Pagano talking about this Buffalo Bills team. And I want to have this conversation with you, Michael, because it's been a turbulent couple of weeks here for the Bills. We obviously don't have to get into everything with Von Miller, what happened over the bye week. But earlier this week, we saw an article come out, and this was like a three-part series article, really in-depth, talked about 25 former Bills players, assistants, coaches, people who have been in the building in there in Buffalo, and it kind of chronicled the tenure of Sean McDermott, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. It was Tyler Dunn over at GoLongTD.com who was able to write this article. Used to work in that Buffalo market there, has a lot of sources connected in that market, and a lot of stuff about McDermott, to where the overall theme, my takeaway from reading the portion, I haven't read all of it, but I've read about a third of it, is that, hey, like, the blame game out there in Buffalo, the lack of accountability from the head coach, which a lot of it stems from what happened 2 years ago in the playoffs, 13 seconds against Kansas City, has kind of come to a head. And it feels like a lot of people are running a little bit tight over there in Western New York.
Well, I think there's no question they are. We talked about this at length on the pod, you and I.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of he's not really addressed it. You know, as I've mentioned before, he took over the play calling and it got confirmed, or at least it was referenced in this column that he did it with 13 seconds left to go. And he hasn't took accountability for it. When he took the play calling away from Leslie Frazier, Frazier said, look, that's not in my contract. You know, and Leslie Frazier left. It wasn't for health reasons. It was for, I want to call the defense. That's what I'm doing. And then he fires Ken Dorsey. So you can see the world is coming around them and the blame game is happening. And I think this is what we see. And, you know, there is doesn't seem to be a great connection between the team and him. But what we see is they have a great player. And like we've said many times, great quarterbacks are the deodorant for everything that's wrong with the organization. And I think this is a little similar to what happened to Jim Mara in Indianapolis before they brought Tony Dungy in. You know, you get so close. You get so close. And Jim Mora was a really good coach. Coach had a successful career at the New Orleans Saints, got close there, just couldn't get over the hump. And when that happens, the expectations tend to really wear on your franchise. And so even though Mara, you know, they had a down year, the 1 year with Peyton Manning, they made the move to bring Tony Dungy in when he was available, and it kind of stabilized their organization. I think that's something here that the Bills, they don't win this one today. They don't win this one. Then this is going to be all we're going to talk about for the next 2 weeks. We're going to talk about what the Bills need to do to fix their problems. And there's no one else to blame. There's no one else in the building to look at and say, okay, you know, it's this fault, it's that fault. You know, this is their moment. I don't think it's their window's going to close, because I think that's a little naive to say, because they have Josh Allen and that window will stay open. However, it will be a problem if they don't fix it.
Yeah, I mean, you've said it at length over this football season. Coach Pagano just said it when we had him on the last segment. They got a dude. Josh Allen is a dude. They have one of those guys that you want behind center if you're going to be a Super Bowl contender here. But, like, it's just, I think the fact that this is such a pivotal game, and like from a betting standpoint here, talking about the game coming up tomorrow against Kansas City, the market cannot quit this team. Like, the market loves Josh Allen. It loves the potential of what the Bills can do here, because we're down to a pick'em, Michael. Like when's the last time we've been able to get Mahomes just to not having to win by 8, 9, 10 points, just to win the game at home in a pivotal game, especially coming off of a loss? Like, this is a lot of respect for a Bills team that right now is on the outside looking in.
Well, I think to me, what you're betting is you're betting Allen. I mean, people don't want, it's not they're betting the Bills. They know the Bills are going, it's going to be a close game. And you just feel like in this situation, Allen has the ability to fix, to win it, where Mahomes has struggled. Now, both guys have turned the ball over at a rapid rate. I mean, look, let's be honest here. You know, Josh Allen leads the league since he's been drafted in interceptions. He turns it over, but he does enough to kind of fix the problems, right? And I think that's the issue here. You're getting, everybody is counting on him to be Superman. They're counting on him to turn this thing around. And I'm not sure it's a bad count. I'm really not. Against a very good defense, right? They're a very good defense. And so I think that's where you're going to see it. How does this work out? Where does it come in? Can the, look, we know this. I said this to Chuck. They have not won a game. Think about this. The Chiefs haven't won a game this year when the opponent has scored over 20. A lot of people suspect that Buffalo will score over 20, as I do. And so how do the Chiefs match that? How do they do that? It's going to fall on Sean McDermott's defense to play good. And without Pacheco now, without Pacheco in the game, where's the power run game come from? Edwards-Helaire is a little bit of a guess runner. Not real, you know, he doesn't pound it up in there. You know, if it's there, he gets what's blocked, but it doesn't really seem like he's got the ability to make things happen if there is, if it's not perfectly protected, so, or blocked. That's why I think this is also coming down. Pacheco's a huge, huge part of this offense that has taken some of the pressure off of it. And Chuck made another point that, I mean, I think is important. Kelce, and we said this on the pod, Kelce's not the same player. Kelce is not the same player, and it has nothing to do with his off-the-field activities and all that stuff. It has everything to do with being 34 years old and having that injury and not being the same player that he once was in terms of coming off the injury, having the same quickness, and having the same burst. He's a full yard down per catch than he was last year.
Well, that's like emblematic of what this offense has been for the Kansas City Chiefs so far this season. But one thing I want to bounce off of you, though, because, I mean, we obviously on this show talk about avoiding some St. Jude's plays is what we want to do. We don't want to bet any St. Jude's plays. We want to have something that could potentially age well and perhaps get there at the end and we can cash our ticket here. And this is something I've been thinking about all week. I haven't placed the wager at all, but I've been thinking about it just based on market movement from what we've seen throughout the week with this game here. Buffalo right now, Michael, to win the AFC is sitting at 20-1. To win the Super Bowl is at 40-1. If the market is correct that Buffalo is very, very live to perhaps win tomorrow, and we're right now looking at a coin flip game as it pertains to the market, are those good bets to make right now that they could age well just within a day if the Bills ultimately win tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, I'm the first to accuse you of St. Jude's plays.
Uh-huh.
I don't think this is at all. I think this is a calculated play counting on Buffalo. I think what's going to happen here, what will happen here if they win today, tomorrow? What will happen? These numbers will completely shift.
Yep.
And we will be talking about the Bills maybe being a true threat in this whole thing, even though they're going to have to go on the road to do it. So I do think that's right. I think you it's a smart play. I do think it's right.
Yeah. I mean, well, as we speak right now, like the market just went to one with Kansas City. I don't know if like that could be a number of different reasons, but I do think like if Buffalo wins, I mean, you're talking about cutting those in half. 18-1 then becomes 10-1, 9-1, 40-1 becomes 20-1, just because everybody recognizes they have one of the guys that can ultimately lead a team to a Super Bowl. Now the road is going to be tough, and there's an outside chance they could win the division. They'd need Miami to collapse down the stretch, but they do play the Dolphins in week 18. Probably not likely, but even if they have to go on the road, I mean, if you're one of those teams that's hosting a playoff game, do you want Josh Allen coming to your building? I don't.
No, I don't either.
I don't want that.
I don't see how Miami's one of those teams that we're going to pencil in, but I'm not sure they can collapse. I mean, everybody is on Miami this week and taking the 13, laying the 13 because they look so good. And why wouldn't you? Because I know how can Tennessee score? So I know we pencil that in, but I do think if Buffalo gets in, they're a dangerous team.
100%. So yeah, maybe just something for people to think about here. If you like the Buffalo Bills in the game, maybe just, it doesn't have to be a big bet. It could just be a small bet that perhaps ages well if they're ultimately able to win the game coming up tomorrow afternoon at Arrowhead Stadium here. But we have 60 seconds left here in this hour number one. Wanted to get your thoughts here on Pittsburgh more in depth here because we heard the news earlier this morning. TJ Watt, their star pass rusher, former defensive player of the year, now in concussion protocol. They've lost two straight. Now they face Elliott's Colts next Saturday in what might be a playoff game, essentially, is what we're going to get here coming up next Saturday.
It is going to be a playoff game. I mean, let's face it. It's going to be one because, I mean, they've just stubbed their toe twice. They can't afford to stub their toe any longer. And I think one of the underlying factors in this Pittsburgh team has been, and we said it on the show before Thursday night, Stormy and I, we talked about it, is their inability to play. They haven't been able to play great run defense. They just haven't been able to get control of the game with their defense. Their secondary is suspect. And, you know, Watt covers up for a lot of their issues, but they haven't been able to, over the last few weeks, been able to control the pace of the game with their run game, with their run defense, which is something that they usually are able to do, right? They're usually able to do that. but they haven't been able to do that, and teams have been taking advantage of them.
Yeah, I don't have the exact splits, but when the Steelers have to play games without Watt, and it's early in the week, he might be able to get through the protocol, but if he can't, like, they do not win when he's not on the field. It is Lane Johnson-esque.
And they got three of the next four on the road.
Ooh, tough sledding here for the Steel Curtain. All right, we'll begin hour number two with a Lombardi look ahead next.